Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Hey. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant. I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Fielzine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
We are back. We are here. This is Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Hondrist. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. Mountain West Connection Facebook. MWC Connection on the good old Twitter. We're back on a permanent basis to go. You ready?
Are we really back on a permanent basis?
Well, we never really left, but more consistent than between February and now.
Well, yes, this is because
is that fair
the
to say?
Sure.
Sure. We did some basketball stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what that sport is, but you know, we'll continue it. I'd like to see us get a little bit talking a little bit more about other sports too. Anyway, we're back, sort of. And we're doing the Air Force preview tonight, right? Hello? I lost him. Ah, okay. So apparently Jeremy's out for a moment, and I guess I'll keep talking. And so we're going to start our 2015 team previews. Oh, you're back. Okay.
It doesn't help when your shorts get caught on your Ethernet cable that unplugs it.
Well, there was only about 30 seconds of silence there, me being absolutely confused as to what to do. But as I was saying, we're starting our previews tonight, beginning with our Air Force preview. We're going to have our Air Force writer, Dwayne Grasmick, come on.
Yep, in about six minutes. It will be. We have quite a few questions as well. Have you perused the Twitter to see the questions we received?
I have not. I should probably go on there.
Okay, pull it up. We got a few Twitter questions on there, some good ones. So while we're waiting for
tweets.
The tweets. Get Dwayne to hop on. Anything you want to discuss about? I know you hate the NFL draft, but any thoughts about anything the past week or two? About anything? Or do you not care?
You know, once the players are out, it's kind of one of those things that, okay, cool, we saw where they landed. That's awesome. But, I mean, the draft's over. Kind of expected. I don't know. Jay Ajayi going in the fifth round was a pretty big shock. But he's on the team now. He's safe until, for some unquestionable reason, he gets cut, which I don't think that'll be happening. I'm pretty sure they're going to sign him.
He might be like the Carnell Williams or Cadillac Williams from Auburn a couple years ago, came in late for some injury concern, played quite well for multiple years. And so I was reading some Dolphins fan stuff, and they're kind of hoping similar to that. But, yeah, bone on bone, but if he's played with it for how many years, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're out of here. You guys, right? Don't worry about those guys ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. No Lyle Collins.
Yeah. Which the Cowboys apparently for each pickup.
Easy for them, right?
Well.
So. Yeah.
Let's give our thoughts. We'll talk about Air Force for a minute. We'll chat a bit at the beginning. We'll get to the questions at the end. We'll probably sprinkle them in with Dwayne, but let's actually do the big question now because this will give us a couple minutes. Some people were curious about how the heck was this team so good last year?
Magic.
You must have saw that pull up.
I don't know. Everything just seemed to click together for Air Force last year. The running game was as strong as it ever was. I think the biggest thing that turned around was you had this fantastic secondary led by Weston Steelhammer. And that was just, it was ridiculous what that secondary, that what the linebacking core and the secondary did. I mean, they last year.
Well, Steelhammer himself had six interceptions.
Last year, according to Bill Connolly, which we take most of our data from, last year the defense ranked 112th in explosiveness, which is pretty typical for a small military type player. But their efficiency was 13th in the country, field position 35th, finishing drives 36th. They were expected to commit turnovers 16.4. They actually committed 18 turnovers. That was a plus of 1.6.
That's a thing, too. Was that per game with the 1.6?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's a big deal. Like, I remember years ago at Wyoming when I think one of the years under Dave Christensen, they're like 8 wins, 4 wins. And the big thing was because their plus minus was such an advantageous for them.
But, I mean, it's interesting to note. I mean, even their defense, I'm going on with the rankings here. Mm-hmm. Yards per game, they were overall 62nd in the country, 28th in rushing, 105th in passing. So there's your big difference. Standard downs, they ranked 13th on standard downs, 60th on passing downs. So, I mean, this was a team who just played well. Typically, just throughout all four quarters except until the fourth quarter.
A few games, like Nevada, even the Boise State, they won. When they brought in Ryan Finley, he kind of torched them for, I think, a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
But looking at it, go ahead. Continue.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to – I went up to some different – I'll be quiet.
Go.
I was just saying, I was looking up some other turnover margins. They weren't even – I have the Bill C's thing pulled up here, but I was kind of finding where you're at. But overall, they were only – per game was actually – they were only plus one on the year. So it's not like they were – like, look at Nevada, it was plus 11, and they still struggled last year. And so they were a team where they were turning over the ball as much as they were getting it. So it wasn't having that huge advantage. So I think the main reason they're so good last year is their secondary was just outside of Steelhammer and getting interceptions, which is good. Their secondary hasn't been good in almost 4 or 5 years when they had the likes of Anthony Wright, who I think was like a third-team All-American 1 year. They've been getting torched. So like, what did you say? They were 60th in pass defensive efficiency passing. Years before, they've been 100 or worse. So what I've noticed with any Air Force team, if their secondary is at least average, we know their front seven is pretty good. They don't give up a ton of big running plays. They will here and there, and they're not going to be amazing, but they're good enough in stopping teams from getting these huge running games because they're quick. But the issue was getting torched in secondary. So if they're average in secondary, they're going to be a good team because their running game is always consistent, always, always, always. And then that's the only weakness they always have. If their secondary is any good, they're going to be a bowl eligible team, if not contend for the conference like they did last year. So let's
right,
move.
Exactly.
We have our guest on the line. Let's bring on.
We do?
Yes, if I'm logged in. So, hello, guest. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Dwayne Grasmick, and I cover Air Force for Mountain-West Connection.
Heck yeah, you do.
Wow, yes. That just sounded dry. Right, try having fun with us.
Well, I came out aggressive. Introduce yourself now, guest. But no, we have Dwayne
yeah.
with us.
Pay no attention to the manager who makes us like seem like we're some sort of professional.
Okay.
First off, check him out on Twitter. Let's get to a Twitter account. We always do this with Chris all the time. Dwayne, follow him at, let's see, my computer screen's tiny. D-A Grasmick. That's G-R-A-S-M-I-C-K. He's at 145. Let's get him to 200 pretty soon because pretty much anything he does on about Air Force is usually well above average, if not very good.
And it's we'll pretty ahead. Much the only Air Force stuff that we ever do. So he's basically the big kahuna for all our Air Force stuff.
So thanks for joining us. So let's just – here's kind of, I didn't really tell you what we're going to talk about outside of the Air Force season. So that's pretty broad and open. Look, we have a couple – we'll get to some of the questions we had people send in. You probably heard me and Chris discussing a little bit. But from you looking at the team, how were the – we kind of figured out, but what was your thoughts of how were they so good last year? What was the one or two key points of how they got to 10 wins?
Well, I really think the first thing was the improvement in the defense. It was a defense that was ranked at the bottom the year before when they went 2-10. And they went to one defensive coordinator. They had co-defensive coordinators the year before. And Steve Russ had Broncos experience when he coached and played for the Broncos. And you could tell that he had a very coordinated defense. They blitzed more. They stopped the run. They were really good against the run. They turned the ball over. They were really good in the secondary. I heard you guys talking about Steelhammer. He's a stud. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. He made a big difference. He's the big play guy. And luckily they have him for two more years. So that was probably the biggest thing. And then offensively, the quarterback situation was settled. Kel Pearson had a great senior year. He got hurt late. Nate Romine stepped in and did a great job. Got that big win against CSU. So I'd say the defense and the quarterback stability was probably the key to the season.
Interesting. Absolutely. Was I supposed to go or were you supposed to go?
Take it. You got it.
All right. So let's go ahead. So we were talking a little bit about how Air Force was just fantastic last year, and we asked about the contributing factors as to why, and you just managed to answer it and kind of confirm our thoughts on that. So here we are, 2015, and the initial question becomes, can Air Force keep that momentum? Are they going to be a 10-win team again this year, or are they going to take a step back and it's just going to be this consistent mix of just up and down and up and down?
Yeah, you look at it, and Calhoun's been very happy with his class that's now juniors, and he talks a lot about the kids will be sophomores. Well, he needs those sophomores to step up. They're replacing 7 starters on defense. 3/4 of their secondary will be new people. And one big reason is for that is because Gavin McHenry, who would have been a senior cornerback, he's no longer a cadet in good standing. So they lost him. He had given them some experience. All they have really with experience in the backfield defensively is Weston Steelhammer. So it's going to be tough. The defense is going to be the key. They got a little bit of a tougher non-conference schedule. They go to Michigan State this year. That's a game that, for confidence reasons, if they get blown out in East Lansing, that could be a bad precedent to what goes into the season.
So with the – because in my opinion, watching Air Force over the years, it is their defense. If the defense is okay, they're going to be fine. Like, they have Alex Hansen back. He's going to be probably their best defensive lineman. David Harris is pretty good in there at the nose tackle spot. I'm just concerned because from the offense, I'm going to kind of unwieldy here, but I think the offense will be fine. I'll just ask you this really quick then, because Nate Romine is going to be the starter. He's a new quarterback, but not really a new quarterback. He started, what, 9 games 2 years ago when Air Force had to play, what, 4 quarterbacks? He played in last year. Is the quarterback position going to be fine? And with the returning receivers, are they going to actually pass even more than last year?
I think they'll have a little bit more of a dynamic passing attack. Romine isn't as good of a runner as Pearson was. We've got Carson Roberts in a backup situation. He's had some experience. He's more of a running quarterback. So while I think Romine will get a majority of the starts, you know, we could see Robertson in some running situations and like that. But I do think the quarterback and the passing attack will be the best. I also think that they're going to be the same running team. They got that dynamic duo at fullback with DJ Johnson and Shane Davern, and those guys were studs, and they really turned it on the second half of the season.
Okay, let's do then I also got Jacoby Owens back as well, and he's a pretty good tailback there, 1,000 yards. One other quick thing before, because we're going to go through a handful of the games here. Let's go back to that secondary, because outside of last year, you got Stillhammer, and he's not a cornerback, so he's not going to like take away a guy like one-on-one guys who's going to be out there. He may guard guys occasionally, depending what the offensive brings him. What's your confidence level in secondary? Because, like I said before, when their secondary is not good, the Air Force football team's not that good because their offense isn't built to score 30 points a game, 40 points a game. They can, you know, they can score, but they're not going to be in a shootout. And with all these Mountain West teams that like to throw the ball a lot, what do you expect from the secondary? What would be a reasonable expectation for them to get close to last year since they're losing? Like I said, 3/4 of the guys are gone.
Yeah, right now, it's unknown. I mean, we really don't know what they're going to be bringing back. They lost so much experience. What they're going to get from the prep school and from their JV team, we really don't know because those guys are unknowns. So we're going to see a lot of sophomores have to step up and play some pretty big minutes. It worked well for Air Force last year. They got some key sophomore additions. They're going to have the same kind of sophomore class emergence to have a chance to be competitive in the Mountain Division, which is such a tough division in the Mountain West.
So let's go to the kicking team real quick. We lose – you guys lose fantastic kicker Will Connett, who is both the punter and the kicker. Last year, he's 45 out of 46 on the point after attempts, and as well as 16 out of 17 from 0 to 39 in the field goals. And even 3 of 4 field goals for 3 and 4, 3 of 4, 40 yards and out. One of our Twitter questions actually was about the kicking game because Conant was so dominant, and because we kind of lost him for this year. It looks like, according to Connolly, that Drew Early is going to be the place kicker. But how is he compared to Conant? Is this somebody who we're going to be, I mean, he's a senior this year. Is this somebody who's going to be as dominant a force as Conant? And if not, how much will the kicking team suffer? And as overall, will the team suffer as a result of it?
Well, you know, Will Conant also punted for the team, so you're going to have a new punter as well. It's hard to replace a Will Conant. I mean, that guy was a machine. He won there the CSU game with that kick late. Hit big kicks throughout the season, had some big kicks against Boise State, also won the field position game for him. You know, Orley did some kickoff duty. He had the big leg. He's kind of like the secondary. You just don't know what you're going to get until you get into the season. I think he'll be all right.
All right, let's get to the games. Here's what we want to talk about. We want to get to the games. So the way their schedule plays out, the Michigan State's outside of the typical Army Navy games, which are always very extremely important. They got Michigan State on the schedule, but they get a couple chances to line up. They play Morgan State, and that should be a win, no questions asked. Cross our fingers, definitely should be. Then they start out with San Jose State, and people might not like us, but Chris, do we discount the Spartans in this game as well, since it's at the academy?
For the most part, you know. Dwayne might hang up on us right now. I'm going to say we cannot count out the Spartans at all. Their recruiting class is too good. They look like they should be turning a corner anytime soon. If not this year, then next year.
They got the potential to be dangerous.
Okay, I'll still say that's going to be a win for us, for the Falcons there. Let's get to the big game. With two games in, hopefully they're getting some stuff done. They figure out their kicking game. They figure out their secondary. I don't think any of us would expect a Michigan State win or an Air Force to beat Michigan State, but we've seen in the past when they go to play Oklahoma, when they go play these big-time teams, they never see this offense, and it always causes trouble just because of the unfamiliarity with it. What's your early thoughts in Michigan State? Like, what could Air Force possibly do to maybe – because Michigan State might probably be a top-10 team going into the season.
You know, I've seen a lot of predictions with Michigan State. They're predicting them being the Final Four in the playoffs, so that's going to be a tough game. And with Michigan State returning their quarterback and him getting a lot of talk as being a first-round draft pick, that game's definitely going to show us where the Air Force secondary is at, where their defense is at, and how good that offensive line is that's going to have to shuffle around a little bit. Air Force, like you said, Air Force plays big teams tough like that. They went to Oklahoma, almost beat Oklahoma. I think it was 2007, 2008, something like that. So if Michigan State overlooks them, Air Force will at least hit them in the nose and make them bleed a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. As kind of what Dwayne's saying, the automatic memory that I'm thinking here is the last team to play a Big Ten team whose triple option was Navy, and Navy gives these teams all sorts of fits all the time. And if Air Force can do remotely the same thing, I mean, I could see an easy top-10 upset early in the season.
I can definitely see it being almost like the Navy-Ohio State game last year. Navy should have beat Ohio State.
That's true. Do you think with the mix-in with the – if they're going to be – Air Force could likely be a more dynamic passing team? Because we've seen – I remember when Tim Jefferson was quarterback, he had a huge arm, and they would just – run and run, and then he would beat teams over the top. So I'm not, at this point, not too familiar with Michigan State secondary, but I'm thinking if there's more of a passing game, like I think there should be, and saying that Air Force isn't forced to pass, like they're not getting third and long down situations, that's where I'm thinking they could just sneak by him, because we've seen it with Navy when they play Notre Dame, like you said, with Ohio State. I'm thinking that could be a key factor. The running game will be great, even though Romine's not the running quarterback. If he can manage the option offense and get the ball to Owens or the other fullbacks, and then he beats it on deep, I think that's going to be a chance. But I know it's too early to tell. It's probably going to be a loss, but I'm just thinking if that passing game can do something, then there's going to be a good chance, a reasonably good chance for an upset.
Well, I always thought that Jaden Robinette was underused in the Air Force offense. I mean, that kid's a stud. He could actually be a draft pick for the NFL in 2 years. He's that good. I think they really have to incorporate him more. Plus, they got Garrett Brown. Garrett Brown is a pretty underrated offensive player himself. He's good in the option game, and he can catch the ball.
All right, we're going to go through most of these games. But I think right now, at that point, they're probably going to be 2-1. Because if somehow they beat Michigan State, they'll be ranked in the top 20 probably at 3-0. But then they got Navy. We're not going to go through all these, but it's at Navy, so do we just say we have to wait and see just because it's Navy and how the rivalry works out? They're always close games for the most part.
Yeah, the only good thing for Air Force is they have a week off between the Michigan State and Navy game. If they have to play Navy the very next week, Michigan State's is gonna beat up Air Force a little bit. There's just too much size difference for them not to get beat up.
And the road game, too.
Yeah, I think Air Force always played Navy pretty tough in Annapolis. I think it could happen again. I think it's a pick'em game right now.
Yeah, I think it almost always is. So let's, Chris, let's go with this. Let's just kind of blast through these a little bit for conference play. Because here's the thing I noticed about Air Force's schedule. Everybody's probably noticed this as well. After that bye week after Michigan State, they have nonstop games the rest of the way. That's what, nine straight games? And that's probably going to hurt later in the year as well.
They have Army in there between Hawaii and Utah State.
Oh, yeah. But consecutive no off weeks, I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
No, I see, okay. And this is, I think, where, and I think this is where it can really possibly get to Air Force and kind of tire them down, just because how the recruits are shaped and the fact you have to take a certain amount of size. I could totally see them beating Navy and beating Wyoming and beating Wyoming State, and then all of a sudden, you know,
Colorado State
falling. Yeah.
I've never heard of Wyoming State, Chris.
Wyoming State. It's actually in Rock Springs, right?
Okay, yeah.
The College of the West. But I would say that potential for a trap game is right between October 24th and November 7th, that Fresno State-Hawaii Army stretch. These are teams who are ranked under the hundreds, and I think especially at Hawaii, I think that's where there's a potential trap. What are your thoughts, Drain?
Yeah, I don't think Hawaii is a trap game. We'll see how good Hawaii is. By that point, they could be thinking about surfing and stuff more than they do think about football.
Mm-hmm. Well, they always think about surfing more. It's Hawaii.
I think it also depends with them if Max Wittig from USC is anything special and is going to be, or at least he may be good, but if the receivers are on their team are any good. But that as a game, because Fresno's going to be improved, and then they've got Army at home to possibly get another commander-in-chief. But going to Hawaii is tough in general, and Hawaii should be improved, but that's going to be an interesting one just because that's five games in to their 9-week stretch.
Right. Yep.
And go ahead, Dwayne.
I was going to say, that Hawaii game scared me when I first saw it come out because it's in between so much big stuff. You know, CSU, Fresno back-to-back, Army, Utah State back-to-back. Hawaii's right there in the middle. That's an overlooked game.
Their schedule gets tough. The second half, like, the whole thing's spread out, but with them having 9 weeks to go, you're looking at Hawaii, okay, to come back to play at Army in another charged game. But then you got Utah State at possibly the three best offenses they'll almost face outside of Michigan State. With Utah State, I'm assuming, who knows what Chucky Keaton, if he'll be healthy and what there'll be, but a tough team regardless. You got Boise State and then New Mexico, who probably has the most underrated offense and I think could at minimum get to six games. I could see them happening like last year where they lose that game to Nevada at the end of the year, but where they're playing Army, Utah State, Boise State, a very tough stretch, including Hawaii before, they might drop that New Mexico game just because they're, like we've already mentioned, they take so many credit hours, they're up, their schedule's so tight and long, the size of the cadets don't hold up as long late in the year, and that could be another game where everybody's like, oh, it's just New Mexico, but they're improving, and 9 games in a row takes a toll on any team, if it's Air Force or whoever.
I definitely hope Air Force has their 6 victories before the Utah State game, because those last 2 games could all be lost. But I think New Mexico could be the most improved team in the Mountain West.
Ah, you're with us on that. We're thinking a lot. Me and Chris like New Mexico, right, Chris? The Lobos?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though we hate everybody, we love New Mexico.
Yeah, apparently we hate everybody. That's the thing, right, Dwayne? You can't write anything without somebody like you. You mentioned that team. What are you talking about? You said something 2 days ago. So with the schedule here, like, what is your kind of, because we're going to kind of finish up here in a couple of minutes, like, what's your expectation for the year? What would be, because there's last year 10 wins is pretty high after that huge +8 turnaround. Where do you kind of see them kind of falling overall? Like, what would you kind of like best guess?
You know, I'd like to give you the Homer answer and say they're going to be 10-2 again, but
heck yeah, go with that.
I'm thinking 7-5, 6-6. There's too many holes they have to fill on defense. I'm a little concerned about that. But I had low expectations last year too, and they came rolling out of the gates. So I'm going to say they're going to go 7-5.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm optimistic here. I'm going to go for 8-4 or 9-3. I don't think they'll hit 10 wins, but I think they're going to get close.
That would be nice.
I'm kind of in between both of you. I'm thinking, because, like I said, they'll probably start off 2-1. I don't know if they'll win the Commander-in-Chief. They'll probably at least split the games, which meaning they can probably get it then because they tie. But the secondary just scares me because when it's not good, this team is just historically not that great when that happens. But I think we can all agree they're more than likely going to a bowl game. But I would stick somewhere about probably 8 wins would probably be about what I would say. And probably nothing. Anything higher than that would be great for them. But I think they could still get 8 wins, between 6 and 8 wins. But I can go with 8 wins because I think they could beat Fresno at home. They'll get past Hawaii. They'll probably beat Army. They can get Wyoming. I'm thinking, well, 7 or 8 wins. Maybe I'll backtrack a little bit. 7 or 8 wins, but bowl game's my bare minimum for them. And that'd be like kind of a poor season if they end up just 6-6.
Yeah, I think they'd be pretty disappointed because I think they're pretty high on their junior class.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's
so is there anything, you know, if we were to travel out to Colorado Springs for a weekend, right, what would definitely be the weekend to come out for?
The Army weekend, I think, until you experience one of those games in that atmosphere, if you need to come out and watch either an Army Air Force or a Navy Air Force game, both of those games have electricity. And, you know, last year's Boise State game was special, but there's nothing like an Army or Navy game.
That's what we always hear. I need to, because if we go this,
it's funny.
We had that last year.
The guy
year too,
who
of
did
course.
This, the guy who did this interview with us last year said the exact same thing, and we were trying to make plans for it too. I don't think either one of us got out there.
But it makes most sense. If you can get to those games, November, that would be. It's great to go to those games because it's always gonna be a good atmosphere, good crowd. That would be the number one game I'd want to see, but it's November. I've been to the Air Force Academy in November. It can be dicey.
Yeah, it's Colorado. It could be anything from 80 degrees and sunny to 20 below, and you wish you were anywhere else.
So like yesterday with this, or
I'd
today, six inches of snow?
I'd go to Colorado in early November.
So what would be, because that would be a clear game to go to, out of all these games throughout the schedule, if we're going to kind of pick, this is an upset that could happen, that's unexpected, similar to last year at Boise State, how they ran out, they got out to a huge lead and kind of closed that one out. What would be your game that might have that same type of feeling or possibility?
I think the Falcons are tired of losing to Utah State. Utah State has owned them. I think they might have something up their sleeves and have a little bit more motivation for the Aggies.
Interesting.
That could be a good one. I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah, I'd kind of go along with Dwayne on that one. I'd like to see a little bit of bitterness start there.
Yeah, I could go Michigan State, but that's more of kind of a wishful thinking upset than a kind of likely upset. But I would still like to say the Spartans just to be different.
Are they going to upset Boise? Are they going to upset Boise State for a second year in a row?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to say they're not going to beat them, but they're going to scare the pants off of them.
God, just like the first time.
So that's like every week when Air Force plays a big team, they'll scare them for at least a minimum of 2.5 quarters, right?
Yeah, I could see him going into the fourth quarter with the lead, and then whoever's quarterbacking Boise State getting hot at the end. As long as Boise State doesn't throw five interceptions and 2 fumbles, they'll be all right.
That's a good chance. All right,
basically the only way Boise State can lose is if they turn over the ball 7 times again, which is a possibility. Thanks, Air Force.
All right, let's wrap up here. We have a few questions that we didn't get to that we'll discuss with you here. Let me pull them up. Okay, I think we've already answered this question, but this is from Matt Kennerly, our Fresno guy. His question is about comparing the secondary to quarterback. And basically he says, is Air Force secondary questions more or less concerning about QB questions or the, or wait, sorry, I'm reading this incorrectly. Sorry. Let me read exactly what he says here. Are Air Force's secondary questions more or less concerning than quarterback questions of the teams on its schedule?
I think the problem is who's going to play in the secondary. They don't have hardly any experience coming back. So I'd say it's Air Force's secondary more than the quarterbacks they're playing.
Yeah, I think we hit on that. But, yeah, even though it's a new quarterback, he start 10 or 11 games so far. Next question we have, let me scroll down here. I have a few, I think. Unless me and Chris got to them all. We already mentioned kicking game. That's up in the air because who knows who's really going to be kicking that much. Secondary, okay. Okay, here's a good question.
How different will the 15 team look from the 14?
Well, we already kind of went through
that.
Let's go to Parker's question real quick. How was this team so good last year? What was the big key? I think it was kind of just the secondary being average and everything else as is, which is always above average.
I would say that the running defense was why they were so good. They shut people out from running. And that's not a typical Air Force team. They got bigger up front. So I would give credit to the running defense that made them pass more, that made teams pass more. But I would say that them having high stats numbers as far as passing game came because teams couldn't run against them.
Excellent. Okay, that's different. I went with secondary, but that makes sense there. Running a defense is usually pretty good, but that is right, thinking back about what they did against certain teams. So, I think when he played Boise, J.H.I., he didn't do anything. He had a touchdown, I think, but he wasn't overly...
I think he had 40 yards rushing that game. And then they also shut down Navy in the second half. That was big.
That's right. So, Seth, one last thing. So, what would be, with this Air Force team, like, with Calhoun turning it around as quickly as he did... And it almost seems all the time he kind of gets a talking about he turned down the NFL, he turned down Tennessee. What would be, like, the ultimate goal for this Air Force team? Like, what can – last year was, I believe, his most wins ever, if I'm correct, with 10 under Calhoun. What are their – like, what could be the ceiling for this team? Because we saw with Fisher DeBerry that 85 team nearly could have won the national title. I was losing, I think, to BYU and ranked in the top 10 late in the year, and they beat Texas, I think, in that bowl game. But, like, what could they be like with Calhoun? Is there any the mountain's so tough? You always got Boise, you always have Utah State, New Mexico's on the rise. What's kind of the ultimate what you think could happen for Air Force?
I remember that year when the Air Force ended up 12-1. That was a special year. Those don't come along too often with an academy school. But if they can just stay consistent, keep winning commander-in-chief trophies, keep being competitive, and keep getting to a bowl game every year, I think that's what they want. And then if they can ever find that special quarterback, make a run, kind of like they did last year with their 10-2, 11-1 going into a bowl game. Getting into the national playoffs, that's probably a dream that we might see once in the next 100 years for a team like Air Force.
I got nothing.
Okay, I was asking. I text Chris a question. That's good. I think because last year was almost like one of those years. I'm thinking if they're able to make to win the Mountain West Conference, because I don't think they've won a league title in a while. Because my thing is that if they can win a conference title, they're going to go to the Fiesta Bowl or Orange Bowl or maybe the Rose Bowl or whatever it may be. But they're always, if I'm correct on schedule, they're always playing Utah State, Boise State, one's at home, one's on the road. I don't think they'll ever get those two teams at home. And I think that's kind of what they would need for that to really especially to happen to win the conference.
Yeah, definitely. If they can ever do a Fiesta Bowl like Boise State did last year, I think Colorado Springs would come on too. That's so crazy and so much fun to see a team like Air Force do that.
That would be crazy. So, do you have any thoughts?
Absolutely.
Anything else to go over here that we missed, or you want to talk about with Air Force?
No. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun. First time doing a podcast.
Hey, dude! Great job, Dwayne. You do great stuff writing for us. Everything's great. Let's check them out on Twitter. D.A. Grasmick, excuse me. Check him out there. He has Air Force up all the time. He kind of recapped when they visited the White House last week to meet the president and all that fun stuff. But, hey, thanks for joining us, and we will, during the year, we bring everybody back on for a bunch of times, so we'll talk to you then. And, hey, just have a good Sunday night, man, okay?
All right, thanks a lot. Go Bulls.
Yep. Excellent. Again, that was Dwayne Grasmick, our Air Force writer. Good insight, good information. Better answer than we can provide about why they're good last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was able to answer a lot of our questions.
Excellent. Yeah, kicking game, because when we trust Bill Connolly, but when he has nobody as a punter, I'm concerned. If he doesn't know who it is.
Yeah, well, no punter and hardly and a very unproven kicker.
Yeah.
An unproven kicker who's a senior. It's kind of a fly or fall very, very quickly.
And that could be an issue with this team, because that 9-game stretch, I see 8 wins on the schedule, but it could be difficult that second half, because here's what we're looking at here. Like, after the Navy's always tough, so we can discount them, but as we discussed, Wyoming should be improved with Brian Hill and with the running back and Craig Bull there. At CSU, they with Mike Boba, they'll just, whatever they do, find a quarterback, run the ball. That's just a rival game. Fresno's improved. At Hawaii, they're improved. It's just that last half of the schedule is what concerns me. But I still think 8 wins is a possibility.
Oh, I totally see them going 0-3 at the end of the season. And I almost have no doubt about that.
I'm saying it's tough when they have those. With New Mexico being week 15 or whatever week that is, and after playing Army, it's that stretch at Hawaii, home to Army, a rival game, Utah State, Mountain Division contender, at Boise, Mountain Division contender, and then at New Mexico, which will be, like you and me have been saying for a couple of years, in a few years, they'll be a very good team, and this could be that year.
And people keep saying, and people who are going to listen to the podcast are going to be like, "Oh, Hawaii Army, what are you guys talking about? Those aren't good teams. The Air Force should have no problem." You don't understand. Traveling to Hawaii is going to be ridiculous, especially when you're talking about altitude change. Hawaii looks like they could possibly be on the rebound, as is Army. Army always has the potential to show up, especially for a heavy rivalry game. Remember, Colorado State Air Force is not a huge rivalry. Army Air Force, Navy Air Force, this whole Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, that's huge. So that series of 5 games, and like I said, I have the utmost confidence that they're going to beat Fresno State. I don't doubt that.
It's at home as well, so I'm with you too.
It's Hawaii on that just scares the hell out of me.
Because here's their schedule. Because of last year, they missed UNLV, which would be a likely win, and they missed Nevada and San Diego State, and they beat 2 of those 3 teams. And so the schedule is a bit tougher. But, yes, people are saying, oh, it's Hawaii and Army. Yeah, Air Force should be favored and should win. But, like you said, rival game and travel to Hawaii and playing so many games in a row. Because when I see 6 wins, like, they'll probably get to 6 wins because I think they'll get past Air Force. They might get past Navy. I think that Fresno or Hawaii game will be their 6th win mark, kind of depending if they can get past Wyoming and Navy, which they probably should worse split those 2 games. Like that stretch, at Navy, Wyoming, CSU, Fresno, they could go 4-0 possibly, or win. Like that's probably their key stretch, I'm thinking. Those 4 games. If they could, I could honestly see them winning just one of those games, or winning all 4 of those games.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, we both think that Air Force is going to make a bowl game, right?
Yes.
So right now, really quickly, where do you think Mountain West is going to end up, or where do you think Air Force is going to end up? Which bowl?
Well, let me pull up our bowls because we have a bunch of new bowls. We could be going to Australia in 2016, but that's in the future. Here's what we do know. They are probably, if you look at, first let's go to the division. They're likely going to finish either between
third.
You think they'll be better than CSU and New Mexico in the league or in the division?
Ooh, third or fourth? How's that?
Because that division, I didn't look at it, but I wonder if there's a chance where all six teams
I think they'll
be
better
eligible.
Than Colorado State. I think they'll be better than Colorado State. I'm not sure about New Mexico.
What about Wyoming?
Wyoming. So I feel that any outside of Utah State and Boise State, 3 through 6 can be completely interchangeable.
I agree.
And every single team in that division can make a bowl game.
I agree. I have to look how it plays out, but I don't know if it's possible if they could all become bowl eligible. There's a chance that they play 3 cross games. That means you got to go win 3 of your non-conference games and 3 conference games. So there's a possibility where all 6 could be bowl eligible. Would that happen? I don't know, but the bowl situation.
And remember that the Mountain West has 7 bowl tie-ins.
Not
including. We're assuming that the top person. Yeah, if we're assuming that the top team in the Mountain West will be the group of 5, which we are assuming right now, yes, we are, that means that we're going to have 8 bowl games to fill up.
And possibly even...
I think that happens.
Well, potentially 9, because we're back up 2 with the Cactus Bowl. Well, actually, no. Let me... Because there's the BYU thing, there's the Hawaii Bowl or Vegas Bowl. But still, there's plenty of bowl... Here's the thing. There's at least 7 bowl tie-ins. I'm assuming... I don't know. It depends what you think of San Diego State, but let's say they finish 4th overall in the league because it goes by order. So say the champion goes off to the New Year's Day Bowl, whether it be, I think the easiest teams to say are either Boise State or Utah State, leaning toward the Broncos at this moment. That means if the best team's gone, that I'm assuming BYU, if BYU's pretty good, they'll take that Las Vegas Bowl spot. Hawaii, I don't think Hawaii's going bowling, so that opens up the Hawaii Bowl for us. Aztecs will probably go to the Poinsettia Bowl. If New Mexico's in, they're going to the New Mexico Bowl game. They already went to the Idaho Bowl game, so I could...
We do not have the Hawaii Bowl this year.
No, it depends. It's either or. It's not official. BYU can take either the Hawaii or Vegas Bowl, 2015-2019.
Gotcha.
And I'm assuming BYU would have to have a good record to go to the Vegas Bowl since it's a higher payout and higher tier compared to Hawaii. So I would see... I'm saying New Orleans Bowl or Arizona Bowl for Air Force.
If
you think about
that's Logan, exactly what Schwabach and McMurphy are saying.
Yeah, see, I wasn't even looking at that, folks. And
we know our stuff, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, the Armed Forces Bowl, just because the Armed Forces Bowl may want them in, but that's kind of where I see them falling around there, mid-range Mountain West Bowl game.
I'm putting them in New Orleans right now.
Yeah, they play Sun Belt. No, it'd be fun. Air Force Georgia Southern.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited.
you do a little bit with those guys, Underdog Dynasty. Is Georgia Southern returning a lot of talent?
Oh, they predict Georgia Southern to finish top of the Sun Belt.
Do you think, not to get out, since we're talking bowl stuff, I think I can sneak this question in. Are they one of the contenders for, since last year, where they go? Didn't they win 10 games last year? 10-3?
They won 9 games last year.
9, okay, 9. Do you think if they run the table, they would be a challenger for that New Year's 6-day bowl game?
Well, right now, like I said, right now, the perceived top spot will go to either Boise State or Utah State. It's basically going to go to the winner of the Mountain West unless we really screw up. But yeah. I can tell you right now, the 2015 Georgia Southern schedule, their first year of FBS, they went 9-3 last year, right?
Yes.
They have a very nice schedule to go completely undefeated. Or they'll go 11-1. They open up at West Virginia. They play Western Michigan. They play the Citadel. Then you have your Sun Belt schedule with us November 21st meeting at Georgia. And if you guys don't know the history of Georgia Southern and Georgia, first of all, Georgia Southern invented the phrase "Go Gata," which, do you know what "Go Gata" is?
I am not familiar with that.
Go Gata. GATA, get after their asses. This is a team who's only – this is a – Georgia Southern is – this is a team who has only been playing football for 30 to 35 years. They've won 3 national titles.
They have.
All
I've
at
seen
FCS
that.
Level.
Mm-hmm. They are quite the team. I'm just curious about that.
That's going to be – Georgia Southern will be the Mountain West's biggest threat for taking that group of 5 bowl games.
Here's why as well. Boise State schedule – I know we're getting off topic, but we're down Air Force and we're bowl talking, and this will probably change every week. But looking at the schedule Boise State, even Utah State has, West Virginia and Georgia are probably the 2 tougher non-conference games than Boise State or Utah State has.
Not West Virginia, no.
No, I mean those 2 combined, I mean.
Oh, those 2 combined? Yeah.
Like compared to
yes,
any 2. Like,
you...
I know West Virginia was bad last year, I'm just saying. Because Boise State, they do have Washington, who lost a lot out in the NFL. They might be – they'll be struggling to make a bowl game, I think, this year. Because they lost, like, who was it, Shaq Thompson and a few other guys. They do have Virginia, but Virginia's terrible. You got Washington, Virginia, BYU. It's like, eh, okay, whatever. And then Utah State, they play Utah and I got to pull up their schedule. I'm just saying, if they're – I don't know if – I'm not saying they'll beat Georgia, but I'm just saying if they can beat those 2 teams that are undefeated, that would give them the possible edge. But if they do strength of schedule like we all know, because we saw Marshall last year, they didn't get ranked until, what, week 14? Week 15 undefeated and like at 24, they may not give Georgia Southern the credit.
Yes.
Utah State plays Utah and they also play Washington. Who's the other non-conference game? Southern Utah. Oh, and they play BYU. So Utah State and BYU's non-conference schedules slight edge to Utah State because they play at Utah. And they play all the road games. They play at Utah, at Washington, and host BYU. It's almost a wash because they both play 2 of those teams. It depends what you think. I don't know. It's is that sound about right for all 3 non? If you compare those 3 non-conference schedules, I'd give it to Georgia Southern. They can do it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, we're just spitballing here. I'm just trying to think of a team because I don't think anybody in America is going to challenge. Unless
no.
You like
maybe
Memphis.
Nothing.
Maybe. But they're going to be losing guys for that first game, probably suspension for the Miami Beach Bowl. But let's move back here. Do we have any parting thoughts on Air Force? Anything like – I think their quarterback play is going to be fine. I'm just extremely concerned about that secondary.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a little bit more for – I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to do 8-4.
Okay. I'll stick to that as well. I just thinking the margin of error is pretty thin in that position, and especially them losing. That was their best defense in a long time, and all 7 starters. So that's my concern because we all know they're not a team that can, if they're down 21-0 or down by multiple touchdowns, it takes a long time to get back in the game. So that's why I'm like, well, but bowl game, let me flip this question on you then before we wrap this up because we're pushing an hour here. Any chance they do not make a bowl game? Outside of
no,
well, okay. I'm saying outside of like crazy injuries or suspensions or anything, transfers. So
bowl basically, game outside of complete collapse. Outside of complete collapse.
Yeah,
no.
Like outside of their control, like injuries or something along those lines. Not necessarily playing the field, but outside of injuries or things
no.
like that, your bowl game no matter what.
Yeah.
I just want to see this Mount Division is going to be exciting. People who tell us all the time, New Mexico's offense is boring, it's terrible. Can I
Those
present
people
how,
are from the Big Ten.
How scared were you last year when they were playing New Mexico, Boise State was playing New Mexico?
Let's not go into that.
I'm just saying they're a scary team in the Mountain Division. Is pretty great. So we're pretty much done here, as you can tell for the past 15 minutes, as we stay on topic for football, but we went off topic with Air Force talking. So we want to thank Dwayne for joining us. I would love to go to an Air Force Academy game, but I don't think that'll happen this year. But We are going to do next week for Boise State. Do we need a guest, or should I just talk to you the whole time about Boise State?
Ooh.
Because I know people love my opinions on the Broncos. We'll talk about it later, but I know people love me talking about the Broncos, right? So check out our website, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, same thing, Mount West Connection. Let's try to get – let's set a goal. Let's get, try to get 2,000 likes on Facebook by the time the opening this season kicks off. We're sitting at 1,560. Do you think that's an overly ambitious goal?
What?
Thanks for listening. Do you think we can get to 2,000 Facebook likes by the time the season kicks off?
Possibly.
Do you know how many Facebook likes we have at the moment?
1,900.
We're 1,500.
Oh, okay.
No, we're that close, but like us on Facebook. We'll share other stuff. It's not just the stories on the show and everything or about the website, but we'll talk about Boise State next week. Typically, from here on out, we're going to go about 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific every Sunday night. So check us out for then. Give us a review on SoundCloud. Well, you can't review on SoundCloud. Listen, but listen. Give us a review on Stitcher, on iTunes. Spread the word. If you like us, great. If you don't like us, that's fine too, but give us 5 stars anyways because I'd like the rating to increase. But thank you, Chris. Are you ready for football? We're still about 4 months away, but are you getting excited? It's closer to almost happening.
I am almost going to go to an arena football game.
Almost?
That's the withdrawal has gotten there.
Okay. That's okay, you could definitely do that. Go see arena football. You'll see a lot of points. But, again, check us out, mwcconnection.com. We'll see everybody next time, pretty much every Sunday night. And try to get past the offseason. Maybe we'll bring some tips. You have arena football. I may go to an MLS game or two. So maybe we'll talk about
a show. Oh, I need to go to an MLS game.
There's not one in Las Vegas, though.
I'm going to be out. I'm going to be gone for a month in July. So, you know.
Oh, thanks for telling me that so we can get prepared. Where are you going?
Well,
let's talk about,
you know.
You going on a trip or something, vacation?
I found out that I have 4 years of eligibility left in the NCAA, so I'm going to go try out for a fullback position at the University of Hawaii.
Perfect. They have a fullback?
They're going to.
That's right. You told me you are. It's true. You are going to Hawaii. Is that correct? I remember we discussed this about in Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what MLS game are you going to? You going to hit Seattle? Because I know you're a Sounders fan.
I'd like to hit Seattle. Yeah. So preliminary plan, maybe right after school's over, go up to Seattle. But at the same time, the Women's World Cup is in Canada during that time.
Ooh.
So I might have to take the train back and forth between Seattle and Vancouver and go to a couple of Women's World Cup games.
It's a good plan. You can always, you know, you're only a couple hours from L.A. to see L.A. play somebody if you really want
to.
Yeah,
but I hate L.A.
I'm saying if your team comes to town. Okay, good point. All right. We'll discuss Chris's travel plans next time of the show. But we will bring up some ideas to pass the time because I don't like baseball too much, but we'll see. Again, last time I'll say this. Check us out.
Ooh, I got to go to a baseball game.
Yes. Check us out one more time. MWCConnection.com. Next Sunday night, we'll discuss Boise State. Send in questions to just do Twitter. It's simple. To MWCConnection. You can ask why Jeremy hates Boise State, which he really doesn't, but people still say I do. So, yeah.
You're going to say why Chris is so biased for Boise State? You know.
Here's the thing. I'll be the contrarian. You'll be Boise. Yes, 12-0 undefeated. I will say 10-2 at the worst possible, which is still really good. But Raja, I know you're going to send me a tweet about Boise State, so send them in my way. Everybody else, we'll see you next week. Everyone have a good night.